I was told for most of my life, hey, you should just charge as much as you can for your services. And so that's what I did. And it got me into trouble because when you charge so much, okay, yeah, the other side accepting of it, all right, I'll charge this guy a lot because he seems like the real deal. But then they expect the world out of you. They literally expect the world. Nobody's going to be able to deliver that type of level of service. So that's when I learned, hey, I have to change my pricing strategy from just trying to charge as much as possible and make a quick buck to I should charge the best rate that will keep the client around.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by both books, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, and the follow-up bestseller, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. Head over to Amazon.com, pick up both books. They are available in a trifecta of paperback, audio, and ebook. Cop all three of both and be on the lookout for another book from yours truly to help podcasters succeed. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of my favorite websites on planet Earth right now, especially as a podcast host known as podcastguest.com, another wonderful site where if you're looking to guest on podcasts or, hey, create your own virtual one sheet for podcast hosts to find you and share your goodness, you can do just that because today's wonderful guest right here, we got basically an OG in podcasting here because this man is probably one of the few to write a book on podcasting when people didn't even know what the heck a podcast is. And my man's got a whole host of content. My man's a serial entrepreneur, a wonderful best-selling author, as well as a founder. You heard that right, folks, as well as the founder of his own wonderful company, as well as the CEO of Krish Media and Marketing. So let's give it up for Naresh Visa. How you doing today, Naresh?
Hey, doing all right, Dom. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, indeed. Pleasure having you on, man. That's right, indeed. Yeah, because when I saw your name on the pitch list, I'm like, hey, a second, that name looks familiar. And it's like, oh, wait, Podcastonomics. I remember listening to that on audio years ago. Like, yeah, let's bring it on.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, thanks for taking a listen to that. And the book came out, Podcastonomics, almost 10 years ago. It was 9.5 years ago when it came out. So it really helped the industry a lot, and I'm glad I could do that. I can jumpstart the industry way back in 2014.
Heck yeah, man! Because I think it was from your book in particular where you mentioned how you have, if I'm not mistaken, 6 notifications for your guests before they show up, so that way you don't have any no shows. I'm like, well, hey, if he does that, sure, I'm gonna add that to my repertoire, and haven't gotten a complaint yet. I've been doing it for like a year and a half now.
Good, good, good for you. Well, I'm glad that the book could inspire you to come out with your own podcast.
Heck yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. So my goodness, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be, I don't know, 17.5 million years long, and it probably only covered, I don't know, 7.8.5 minutes. So I'm filling in any cavities on how you became the Naresh that you are today.
Yeah, well, just a little background about me. I run a company called Krish Media and Marketing. It's a online and digital media and marketing agency, just like it sounds. The website is Krish, K-R-I-S-H, mediamarketing.com. I've been running this company for 10 and a half years now. I got started in 2013, so coming up on 11 years. It's been great. I've been working from home while running this business, because of the business, I was able to write a couple of books, one of which you mentioned, Podcastnomics. I've written 5 books so far. And I also host my own podcast called The Work From Home Show, which is all about making money from home, starting businesses from home. Krish Media Marketing is a full service online and digital media marketing agency. We do anything and everything from SEO, pay-per-click, social media, to web design, web development, a little bit of IT, podcasting, a lot of digital media stuff, video editing, you name it. We do it all. So it's a one-stop shop. And I'm happy that I've been in business for 11 years. It's quite an accomplishment, and we continue to grow.
Heck yeah, indeed, as I'm talking about, indeed. And funny enough, doing some research on you, I actually learned that you were actually in my neck of the woods in the land of charm, crime, and crab cakes for a little bit.
Well, I've lived around the country. I lived in Houston, Texas. I live in Tampa, Florida now. Moved to Tampa from Baltimore, Maryland, where they have lots of crab cakes over there. Was working full-time. I came from the corporate world. So I worked in corporate on Wall Street for a little bit, probably the largest financial marketing company in Baltimore. Well, the largest financial marketing company in the world, based in Baltimore. Lived along the East Coast, New York, upstate New York, like I said, Maryland, North Carolina, but Florida is now home.
Yeah, because I'm talking about these, I'm talking about date. Yes, sir, because when I heard my man was from Baltimore at one point, I'm like, yeah, there you go. That's my people right there. That's right, indeed. That's my people right there. So my goodness, so with all those wonderful frequent flyer driver miles, and congrats on 11 years in business, when most folks are lucky to make it to year five, man. Like, what do you feel like has been, I guess, one of the major keys to your staying power? Because I know know you had a rough time. I guess it was somewhere, maybe somewhere between 3 to 8 years when you did the high ticket thing for a bit and things kind of went south.
Yeah, well, that's impressive that you know about that. So I want to share a tip with your audience, because the economy has changed a lot from what it was in the 90s. And what I mean by that is we still face severe deflationary pressure. So right now we hear all about inflation, and inflation is around us, which is 100% true. But we face severe deflationary pressures from technology. And what that means, for those who don't understand what that means our wages are going to go down, or they have gone down, and they're going to continue to go down. And when I say our wages, I mean just your regular average Joe. And this is because of technology. To give you more clarity, 30 years ago, when the internet hit the mainstream, 1993, I think, was the first year, exactly 30 years ago, Netscape, well, Mosaic was the first search engine. Way back in, I believe it was 93. I'm going to do a quick look up on that. But in any case, when the internet went mainstream, the cost to create a website was well into the four figures. I'm talking $8,000-$9,000. That's how to create a simple website that today would be free, or would cost somebody, they could do it themselves for, you know, $15, $20, maybe buying a domain name, some hosting, and creating it. So yes, Mosaic did come out in 1993. So that was 30 years ago. And I bring this up because that's an example of deflation, where something 30 years ago cost, let's say, $9,000. Today, you can do it for $90. That's huge deflation. And so what I learned with my bit, how does this tie into my business and a lesson that we can all take away from it? It's that I was told for most of my life, hey, you should just charge as much as you can for your services. And so that's what I did. And it got me into trouble because when you charge so much, okay, yeah, the other side is accepting of it. All right, I'll charge this guy a lot because he seems like the real deal. But then they expect the world out of you. They literally expect the world. Nobody's going to be able to deliver that type of level of service. So that's when I learned, hey, I have to change my pricing strategy from just trying to charge as much as possible and make a quick buck to I should charge the best rate that will keep the client around. So I actually changed my strategy to a low cost pricing strategy, meaning I want to get people through the door. I want to get them through the door through the low prices and then have the client for life. So that's what I learned in the process because when I had clients leaving, even some lawsuits started happening because, again, when you're paying that much money, you feel like you deserve the world. So I changed my strategy. This was about nine years ago. Yeah, it was 9 years ago when I changed my strategy. And that's why I've still been in business 9 years later.
Solid right there indeed. Solid right there indeed. 'Cause yeah, you're so right, and that's a piece that probably isn't mentioned, at least the way you mentioned it. The whole deflation thing is so darn true. 'Cause yeah, my God, 4 figures like easily for website plus, as opposed to now where it's like, yeah, if you got a couple bucks, you're basically in. Then of course, with the wonderful arrival of AI that cannot be stopped now, it's like, hey, you basically can get templates for contracts and other things like that that will cost you thousands of dollars. It's like yeah, you're still gonna need that wonderful expertise to make sure it's good and actually makes sense. But still, it's like yeah, technology has not only even the playing field has leveled it
Yeah,
immensely.
absolutely.
Sir, indeed. Yes, sir, indeed. So my goodness, are you being able to work from home, my man? So how do you stay focused and productive, especially with you being a father now too?
Excellent question. Really good question. One of my favorite questions. Look, I had practice working from home. Like I said, I started my business in 2013. I was working from my dorm room while I was in college well before that. So I had jobs even when I was in school. And when you're in college, I mean, you're studying basically from your dorm room. So I had good experience working from home, just being very disciplined in front of my computer, getting work done. And once I started making six figures working from home, I said, hey, there's no turning back. I'm never going back into an office. There's just no point in doing that. So once that happened, once I made that mental mindset shift of working from home and that I'm going to strike out on my own, I really head down, grew my business, started the writing. The biggest thing is when you start working from home, you need to have a discipline. If you get easily distracted, if you have concentration issues, if you are constantly in the kitchen, grabbing food or watching TV, you're going to struggle. So I never turned on the TV. I was in an apartment in downtown Baltimore and I was just super dedicated to my work. This was just kind of it was an innate mindset that I had, work first. I was also single, no kids, no family, no nothing. So that 10 years later, or not 10, but 8 years later, when I did have, or I got married and then I did have my first child, I was able to make some tweaks and changes to transition from working from home by myself to working from home with a little kid running around or crying or whatever. And so I figured it out. I figured it out. I got two kids now. I still work from home. I still do meeting. Now I don't have my kid with me right now because my wife is off from work. So she's taking care of him. But when I'm taking care of my kid mostly at home, I even do meetings and my kids know from the age of one, both of them, they know, hey, daddy's working. I got to be quiet. So they'll be quiet. They'll be playing by themselves. They got all their toys, whatever. So I'm able to do my meetings. And outside of meetings, actually getting work done, pretty simple. Because again, I discipline my kids in such a way, starting at the age of one. Under that is a little harder. Under that age is pretty hard. But starting at the age of one, they know, okay, I can play by myself. And that's how you build independence in kids. And that's how I'm able to get my work done. And I highly recommend people check out my show, the Work From Home Show. Just Google it or go on Apple Podcasts, type in Work From Home Show. We share tens of hours of tips on how to work from home, which I'm only sharing a tiny little tidbit right now.
Good deal indeed. Good deal indeed. Because I'm sure there's probably an episode or two about how to get discipline your kids so that way they don't pop in during a Zoom meeting, I imagine then.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, folks probably like, yeah, I need to learn that tip. I wish I would have learned it before this pandemic happened three or so years ago. It was like, sure. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, my goodness, man. So, now that you're 11 years in business, a bunch of wonderful books under your belt. What are you excited about over the next 6 to 12 months, my man?
Very excited about some real estate deals that I'm working on. When I say deals, we do a lot of online and digital marketing for real estate companies and real estate partners. So despite the high interest rate of environment that we're seeing right now, it's been very encouraging how many people still want to buy, how much interest there is in real estate. So I'm excited for that. I'm working on my next book, so stay tuned for that. Looking forward to that coming out later in 2024. So yeah, those are probably the biggest business exciting things that I'm working on.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about. Dude, so any idea what you're going to cover in your next book, or is that still G14 classified?
I do know the book is about 20% done. The outline's completely done. So I do know, but it's classified right now.
Well, I know what is a classified as the 50 Shades of Marketing, man. So what inspired the title? Did you actually read the book, or did you love the title so much you had to go ahead and run with it?
Both. Great question. Both. I read the book. Not a very good book, but it sold extremely well. And the franchise ended up doing more than $1 billion worth of sales through the books, through the movies, through the action figures and other items that they were selling. So the book came out, my book, 50 Shades of Marketing, came out the same year that the movie came out, 50 Shades of Grey, in 2015. So the book's 8 years old now. But I knew I wanted to write a book on online and digital marketing, basically what my company does. So I wrote the book, and then to come out with the title, I used one of the strategies in my book, which is good copywriting. I use a strategy in my book to come out with that title, 50 Shades of Marketing, Whip Your Business into Shape and Dominate Your Competition.
That's what I'm talking about. That's that well done right there. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Yeah, man. So my goodness, so any advice for those looking to start to get some good copy writing under their belt? Any tip or two you want to recommend for folks who may be starting out, especially when it comes to marketing their wares and their business and the service?
Yeah, well, I got a ton of tips. Like I said, we talked about my book, Podcastnomics, which is all about podcasting. Now we can talk a little bit about my book, 50 Shades of Marketing, which is a book all about online and digital marketing. And that book, like I said, came out 8 years ago, and I have an entire chapter there dedicated to copywriting. And so I'll be glad to share some tips right now on what makes good copy. So the first thing is explaining what copy even is, because people listening may be like, what's copywriting? Copy, I'm not talking about copyright, like the legal term, that's R-I-G-H-T, not that copyright. I'm talking about actually writing like advertising text. That's what copywriting is at the end of the day. What is copywriting? At the end of the day, it's simply advertising text. Really, really easy explanation. So when you drive around and you see billboards and you see the text on the billboards, that text is copy, because a copywriter wrote that text. When you get an email, let's say from McDonald's, because you're on their email list, that text, whoever wrote that email, that is copywriting. So the best copywriting will generate the best returns, because marketing is all about, what is marketing all about? It's all about convincing someone to buy a product or a service. So it is meant to persuade people to take action. So good copy usually follows one of these four themes. Number one, it can be inspirational. It can be controversial. It can be timely. Timely would be like McDonald's. Hey, today we're giving away $1 large fries. Today only. Okay, that sounds pretty timely. That's good copy. It can be urgent. So urgency and timeliness are somewhat related, but a little different, because timely can also mean current events, tying something into like a current event or something that's happening right now. So it must be one of these four things: inspirational, controversial, timely, urgent. These are the four most effective ways to write copy. So next time you are trying to convince someone to buy something, you're writing an email, you're talking to somebody, you can also speak through copy. Keep in mind, is it controversial? Is it inspirational? Is it timely? Is it urgent? Those are the best copy.
Copy that. Definitely solid tips right there. And you can say, yeah, it's definitely powerful, the power of copywriting it, because it's like, oh wow, like I didn't even know that was a thing. It's like, yeah, go to grade school, it's like, oh yeah, writing like a book report or something, oh you write a book or whatever, but it's like, oh yeah, you actually have to go to the next level if you're going to be in business, especially when it's marketing. It wears a copywriting, like making sure it's definitely controversial or inspirational, especially timely too, especially with all those wonderful things where it's like, buy now, like 30 days you got left to buy this, it'll no longer be on sale or it might be gone forever. And then the honest folks will make sure it's gone forever. Then there's some folks who will come back a year or two later and be like, all right, is the coast clear? All right, so this thing will be gone forever again. Totally gone forever. Oh my goodness, my goodness. Well, speaking of controversial, even though it depends on who you are, my man was actually running for president for a short minute under the Independent Party, man, and that's a huge undertaking, man. So what inspired that, my man?
So it was actually under the Freedom Party, which is a independent third party, and I'm actually still running. I just haven't formally dropped out. So let's answer a couple of questions. Why did I do this? How did I do this? I actually did this because somebody told me. They said, hey, did you know that it's really easy to run for president? And I said, well, what do you mean it's really easy? And they said, you literally just go to the FEC, the Federal Election Committee website. It's like fec.gov, or just Google FEC run for president or file for president. So you go to the website and then you fill out a form. It's like a, you know, 5-minute form that you fill out with all your information, your political party. And then you hit submit and boom, you're done. There's no fees, no nothing. You run for president. And so somebody told me, they said, did you know it's really easy to run for president? I said, oh, let me just try this as a, just see if you're for real. So I went on, I filed it, boom, done. The next day I get a letter from the head of the FEC saying, congratulations, you're running. And so I made the decision, hey, you know what? This was pretty easy. I didn't know it was this easy. I'm going to run every 4 years and until I die. So Do I want to accomplish anything from it? Maybe eventually. Maybe if, let's face the facts, you don't get anywhere in politics unless you have three things. You can speak well in front of a camera, which I think I can. I do. Number two is money. Lots of money. Don't have that. And number three is brand name. And when I say brand name, I mean mainstream brand name. Don't have that. So that's only one out of three. You need three out of three. Maybe down the road, if my stars change, all right, well, I'll take this more seriously. But for now, I'm just having fun running, going on shows, talking about political issues, talking politics, and just building up, you know, hey, every 4 years, this is what I'm going to do, kind of like as a fun thing.
There we go. There we go, indeed. Good deal. Because you're actually the third person to appear on this podcast who actually is running for president or has run for president.
Really?
It's kind of, yeah. The other two, well, the first guy, will. Let's just say his episode's missing for a reason. The second guy, he's actually Antonio T. Smith, probably one of our highest rated episodes for a long while. He actually served in the U.S. military. I believe he was in the Army, if I'm not mistaken, and had a rough upbringing, was homeless, and brilliant man. And this was back in, this was 2020, where basically the field was basically wide open, where a lot of, especially a lot of independent candidates got a lot more votes than usual because, well, folks are tired of the stuff up top. It was basically a dog and pony show level 99 a few years ago. So it's like, but yeah, he did pretty well for himself for a bit. And then, of course, you know, the whole money issue, it's like I jokingly said before we press record, it's like, oh, I'm gonna run for president, baby. It's like, but a billion or two and worldwide recognition, like, I think I'm good, fam. Hey, the powers of being, like, nah, fam. Oh, man, but that's definitely good. Definitely good indeed. Because, hey, like I said, doing it for fun, learning opportunity. And in this climate that we're in, definitely a lot of folks even, I even remember Grant Cardone joking about, hey, I'm going to run for president as a marketing technique. And it's like, it kind of is, because you'll get attention. It may not be good attention, but you'll get attention.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So since you've been on so many podcasts and interviews and such, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the microphone?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. I do, like you said, I do at least 20 podcasts a year, like going on other people's shows. And I've been doing this for the last 8-9 years or so. If you go to NareshVisa.com, my main website, NareshVisa.com, look at the In the News section, and you'll see all my media hits, appearances, print media, podcasts, radio, video, TV. You can see all that. The more you do, the better you get, because you're going to be asked the same questions over and over again. So I like new questions. I mean, you're asking me a lot of new questions. I like new questions, but the more you do, the better you're going to get. I do have experience in media. I used to have my own show. I have TV experience, radio experience. I have a degree in broadcast and digital journalism, print journalism. I have good experience there. So I have that experience. And that's made me better in front of the microphone, talking to people like you. I also have my own podcast, The Work From Home Show. So we've talked about my book, Podcastonomics. Speaking is nothing new to me. So I can share, I just shared, you know, why I'm comfortable, why people keep asking me to come on their shows, why it's worked out really well. And that's why I continue to be asked to go on shows. I come on your show, somebody else hears a podcast, they say, hey, let me get this guy on. I build up my, like I said, I have my website that has all my appearances. So that's a good place to start as far as media clips go. People can just go right there, see, oh, wow, he's been on hundreds of different shows. So all those help build your brand and make you better in front of the microphone.
Yeah, that's right, indeed. Definitely make you better in front of the microphone, indeed. Makes you better and not butter. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Can be smooth as butter, but not, but be, don't be butter, though. You'll end up in the cake somewhere or something. Well, then, fun question for you. So, your fabulous book, the most recent one, I believe, at the time of this recording, From Nobody to Best-Selling Author, How to Write, Publish, and Market Your Book. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Well, talking about another one of my books, like I said, I have five of them. If that book were a food, it would probably be a pizza, because I think pizza is the easiest item to make by yourself. Super easy to make. And that book is a manual on, like you said, the title of the book, How to Write, Market, Publish, or How to Write, Publish, and Market Your Book. It's a do-it-yourself book. So it would be a pizza, because pizza, you can easily do it yourself. Just get, buy a crust and then just throw stuff on it. Boom. That's what the book's all about.
Yeah, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. The pie that everyone likes. That's right, indeed. It's a pizza, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
That's a tough one, man. It would probably be financial advice, because when you're 25, if you could get a good ground on your finances at that young age, you're going to be set up for life. And so the advice I would give is, do not just have money sitting in a bank account. Put it in something that will help that money compound. That thing would be high yield CDs, certain stocks. To be very careful which ones, but high yield CDs or certain stocks. So if I was a 25-year-old right now today and I had money sitting around, I would immediately put it in certain stocks or high yield CD.
Yes, dude, solid advice, baby. Boulder solid. It ain't just rock solid. It's a whole boulder solid piece of advice, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because, hey, finances needed. Heck, kind of reminds me of beginning of the conversation. Like, hey, the inflation be real.
Yes, sir.
That's right, indeed. And that balloon keeps on getting more air. Like, stop it. Get your finances in order. Especially if you got a lot around somewhere. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So take the blanket off of it. Put it to work. That's right, indeed. Put it to work in a good way. Make it gain more troops. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, speaking of gaining more troops, folks need to follow you and what you do, my man, because my man is kicking out a whole bunch of great content. Indeed, my man's been in the game for a long time, and you got a bunch of wisdom, and folks only heard maybe, I don't know, 1.5% of it. So for those who need to dive into the other 98.5%, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Check out my books on Amazon. Type in Naresh Vissa. You can see all five of my books up there. Check out my website, NareshVissa.com, like I said. Get on my mailing list there. And then my company's website, Krish Media and Marketing, K-R-I-S-H, MediaMarketing.com. Look at what we have to do, what we offer, and plenty of ways to stay in touch with me just through those.
Sweet. Well, there you have it, folks. That's right. The natural narration, baby's got you covered. That's right, indeed. You'll have you being a natural in business in no time at all after a while. So follow my man and all of his content. Going to put links to all of his wonderful things in the show notes that we can keep up with his journey, that we can cop some copies of his magical books and be able to look out for his new book in 2024. That's right, indeed. You might even have a 5-iron golf club ready just for the 2024. Well, before open another rabbit hole, any parting words before we close up shop?
I would just say, keep your head up. Give entrepreneurship a chance, no matter how old you are, no matter where you are in your career. Start it on the side first. See where it goes and where it can take you. It can change your life for the better.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for 3, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.